Hey, everybody, welcome to Lock On Lakers for Thursday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The NBA futures are out at betonline.ag. Some interesting things in there in terms of who's going to win the awards this season. Plus, Andy, Clutch is getting sued by Nerlens Noel, which means Nerlens Noel is probably not going to be a Laker anytime soon. All that coming up on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Also news where Jared Dudley is going to end up. We talked about it last week. Unlikely to rejoin the Lakers as a player, and he's heading off to Dallas, Andy, as a member of the coaching staff. Says something about where the Lakers are going with the roster. We'll do that before the end of the show. But the numbers are out. The Lakers and Nets are expected to win the title. They are the early favorites. No real surprise there. 52.5 is where betonline.ag set the over under for Lakers wins. I think probably to the average fan that sounds low. I'm not totally sure it is though.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about it. Like if you look at it compared against other championship Laker teams, it is actually a very low win total. Like just going through 2010, they won 57, 2009, they won 65, 2003, 50, but then 58, they won 58 in 2002, 56 in 01, and then 67 in 2000, the first of the three-peat titles.
Which is so excellent.
Yeah, I mean, so like in that sense, it does feel low for a team that would go on to win a championship. The flip side being the Lakers would be heavy on new faces, and heavy on very particular new faces that even if you believe in their upside could take some time to put together. And you're also taking into account their collective age, the mileage, what the Lakers have been through the last couple of years, the idea that seeding doesn't necessarily mean anything to them. So it means they have less of a motivation to chase wins just for the sake of doing it. So I can see where fans might say that feels low for a team that is very close to being a favorite to win it all. But when you really peel back the layers of the onion, it makes a lot of sense.
The more interesting stuff, I think, comes with the individual player futures bets. Starting with MVP, who is most likely to win? It starts with Luka. Luka is at plus 450, the odds-on favorite. That, to me, is totally reasonable because I think the story, the expectation of monster numbers and the idea that Dallas could be both pretty good and is one of the teams in the Western Conference that seems likely, if things work out, to be a little bit better than people expect. That is a great formula for a guy to go win MVP. KD is fourth at plus 800. Embiid is fifth at 850. LeBron and Dame Lillard are both tied next at plus 1200. The numbers are not what's important here. I think that LeBron is like sixth on this list. It sounds about right. I think there's
hashtag
a
washed of, king, baby. This is just another thing on the hashtag washed king list.
I'm actually surprised I haven't seen any kind of Instagram. He's probably still preoccupied with his 2K rating, but at some point he's going to see that somebody thinks that other people are going to win the MVP before him.
Yo, yeah. This is all going on LeBron's list. I will say this, if you think LeBron is going to stay healthy this year, if you are confident with this, I would lay that money on LeBron
in
right now.
A heartbeat, because if think about where he was last year, what he's motivated to do this year, and who is going to get the credit if the Lakers hit the ground running. We talked about it, Friday's show, the schedule, like they've got a good opening schedule, pretty favorable schedule overall. If the Lakers hit the ground running and LeBron is healthy and playing like he did last year, a 37-year-old dude winning the MVP, all that, like that is a phenomenal story. He's going to rocket up this thing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and because that narrative that there are only so many more chances for LeBron to win another MVP, that four that he's had over the course of his career is not enough, and you need to do this right now. If it was prevalent last year, it's going to be prevalent this coming season, and it will be absolute crack, heroin, every single drug you can possibly name for the people that do the voting on this. And you brought up something I think is really important, Brian. These narratives get established extremely early, and then it is basically up to the player to F it up. So if LeBron has that type of start, the Lakers have that type of start early, assuming things stay steady, and again, you believe in LeBron's ability to stay on the court, put that money on LeBron now. That's a really,
LeBron is a great bet there at plus 1,200. All right. I noticed something about this list, and I'm curious if you saw the same thing as it pertains to the Lakers.
Yes, I did see it. I know where you're going with it, and I saw it.
Okay. What?
Russell Westbrook being given slightly higher odds for MVP than Anthony Davis, plus 2,500.
I thought that was fascinating.
Versus plus 2,800. That is really interesting when you consider that any skepticism surrounding the Lakers, I understand that people wonder if Anthony Davis can stay on the court. I recognize that people wonder about his wiring, that he's alpha male enough, blah, 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 blah. Somebody has to give him the ball more often than he's going to be able to control that himself. Doesn't change the fact that the number one reason for skepticism with the Lakers is Russell Westbrook doesn't fit with the team. I know he's a former MVP, but still,
if the Lakers go out and they win, because look, it's going to be hard for the Lakers to win stuff. And we'll get to Frank Vogel here. We'll get to I think the only award that they have a really good chance of winning here is related to MVP. And even then it's going to be tough because there are three stars, because they're expected to win the West. And so you don't get a big bonus out of doing that. If you are the Lakers, best player on the best team. Okay. You got three of, you understand what I'm getting at here. Westbrook is, in terms, again, story, like it really, to me, it indicates how much people think about story with this, because Westbrook, if the Lakers play well, win 63 games and all that kind of stuff, could be putting up, big numbers, and it could be, wow, look at what Russ is doing. He's changed his game. He's averaging 14 rebounds and 15 assists, but only taking 7 shots a game or whatever it might be. He's the engine that's making all this work. It's amazing. Or LeBron misses X amount of time and Westbrook carries them. The funny thing to me is I expect actually all of this, out of all of these things, for Davis to put up the biggest numbers. I think Anthony Davis is going to lead the team in scoring this year and all that. But his role in all of this has gotten way less interesting. Like, all Anthony Davis needs to do now is go play, which is great for the Lakers, but it's not great for Anthony Davis's MVP candidacy. Because, the story is going to be, the line is going to be, the knock is going to be, yeah, but LeBron is doing all this and Westbrook is doing all this. All Anthony Davis has to do is go play. And that is going to keep him from winning MVP. I thought it was fascinating that he was put up there below Westbrook.
I found, without question, the biggest casual sucker bet for MVP, even bigger than Jamal Murray plus 25,000, not even knowing if Jamal Murray is going to play this upcoming season. I found an even bigger sucker's bet than that. John Wall plus 25,000. I feel bad for what's happened with John Wall in his career with all the injuries. That sucks. He was a really dynamic, fun player to watch. That being said, FOH, man.
John Wall wouldn't put money on John Wall. MVP.
No. That is literally terrible. Impossible. That is a terrible bet.
He's going to be possibly on the worst team in the NBA. God, that's a terrible.
I mean, that is purely just attracting the casuals from like 2014.
I haven't checked in on the NBA. Who's good these days? John Wall. Here's $100 on John Wall. That's my guy.
I remember when he did the Dougie.
What's he been up to? All right. So more interesting stuff from these betting lines that indicate where people think the 2021-22 season might be going. Talking about Frank Vogel, Anthony Davis's Defensive Player of the Year odds. And can THT win both Most Improved and Sixth Man of the Year? We'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Sweat Block. There are a few things in life that are just not fun to talk about. One of them is excessive sweating. Like when you are sweating through your shirts, your entire wardrobe, for no reason at all. It's embarrassing. I don't want to have to worry about that. That's why I use Sweatblock antiperspirant wipes. Sweatblock is stronger, more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it at night before you go to bed. Then the next morning you wake up, you wash, you filthy pig. Then you go about your day without worrying about sweat. Use it once or twice a week. Stay dry the entire time, guaranteed, or your money back. This stuff is awesome. You will have no more pit stains. You will not have to pick out your wardrobe based on what will hide the sweat better. You can actually break out some white clothes, some, you know, light red, whatever stuff that basically is not navy or black. And I will put it to you this way. If you know of another sweat solution that is doctor created, doctor recommended, featured on Rachel Ray's show and tested by firefighters, I'm listening. But until then, check out Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with the promo code Locked On or at Amazon CVS.
So I have made the point, Andy, that I think Frank Vogel has a lot of obstacles in front of him in terms of winning Coach of the Year. It is difficult to do that when LeBron is on your team. Just the perception is LeBron is the coach. LeBron is too good, you know, and now you also have Anthony Davis. You know, so it's like there's too much going for the Lakers right now for him to win. That said, he's at plus 1400. He's behind Steve Kerr, Steve Nash, Billy Donovan, and then Eric Spoelstra, and then he's tied with Monty Williams at fifth, and both of them at plus 1400. We can talk about maybe some of the names that are in front of him. Do you think that his odds, given what we know about how this award tends to be given away, do you think his odds got better or worse after the Lakers made the Westbrook deal?
Better. I agree with you. And the reason is because with the acquisition of Westbrook, you've got those pieces that you have to fit together and somebody has to find a way to do it, even if you think a lot of this is going to be LeBron and Westbrook and to a sizable degree, Anthony Davis being the guys who ultimately figure this out. You also have a supporting cast that is considered a downgrade defensively. And mm-hmm. Frank Vogel, there is a perception that he is being tasked with figuring this out. If they actually do figure it out, that is going to speak incredibly well of him. And it also gives him something tangible to do that you can't just say LeBron figured out for him. Like there are things that are going to be happening on the court that definitively do not feel like an extension of LeBron is ultimately the coach or right.
Starting
LeBron
with just
and
as
Westbrook
simply with
are the
who
coach.
The hell is going to play? It's not even just like what plays are you running? It's like figuring out what is the combination of people here? Because, you know, we're going to, I think, get to Kent Bazemore next week. But, you know, we've been going through all these scouting reports and these different, you know, podcasts. People should go back and check them out if they haven't. You did Kendrick Nunn and Trevor Ariza earlier in the week. Like, it's not hard. It's hard. Like, none of these guys are perfect fits where you go, God, that makes a ton of sense. Or, you know, the rotation just settles out easily. And if they had done the Buddy Hield deal, for example, while there still would be questions, I think, about the Lakers defensively and all that, because, you know, that's not Buddy's jam. The perception, I think, of the team is, oh gosh, you got LeBron, you got AD, you got one of the best volume shooters that the league has seen in a long time. I mean, Hield is, you know, say what you want about Buddy, he's real good at shooting three-pointers from all different places in all different ways and making them like 10 a game. Like, it would have made the Lakers look on paper like a much more cohesive, coherent group, where now, like you say, they got to stitch the whole thing together. Other things, Anthony Davis is fourth, you know, in line for DPOY, which makes some sense, behind Gobert, Simmons, Giannis, and ahead of Joel Embiid. LeBron's not on the board, which I thought was a little surprising considering Julius Randle is. THT on the list for both Most Improved and Sixth Man of the Year. There's a parlay for you. Not listed, Andy, are the odds that Nerlens Noel ever plays for the Los Angeles Lakers. I don't think Vegas is going to put that on the board as long as either Anthony Davis or LeBron James are playing here. He is suing Clutch for bad work, basically.
Yeah, he is saying that he lost a grand total of $58 million over his time being represented by Clutch. It all began when he reportedly had a $70 million offer from Dallas that he claims Rich Paul, the head of Clutch, dissuaded him from signing, and that began this downward spiral of below-market contracts for Nerlens Noel. Also, different contracts that he was being told by Clutch or by Rich Paul that he would have in front of him that never materialized. He stayed with them longer than he felt comfortable with because he kept getting persuaded by different people within the organization.
I have no idea who is right and who is wrong. And I think a lot of times, agent, we just went through this with Dennis Schroeder. Like, was it Schroeder's fault that he didn't take the $84 million from the Lakers? Was it his agent giving him bad advice? Was it some combination of the two? Whatever it is, ultimately players are responsible for these types of decisions themselves. But I don't know if they do a good job or a bad job for him. But what I do know is that this is going to raise all kinds of questions that circulate around the league, that, you know, that hit on the perception that Clutch ultimately is interested in their superstars and putting players around them and, you know, guiding guys to and from different cities based on what the stars need and don't. I don't necessarily think it's true. We've had a lot of conversations with guys like Brian Windhorst at ESPN, who's been around these dudes for a long time and talk about how seriously, they take that sort of separation of, you know, the fiduciary duty, so to speak. But that doesn't mean people aren't going to talk about it. And there is a ton of crossover and potential conflicts of interest, not just with Clutch, but with all the agents all around the league when it comes to these kinds of questions.
What I find, though, most interesting about this, though, from a Laker fan's perspective, you know, and from the perspective of somebody who covers the team, is the very real prevalent perception of Clutch's power within this organization. And Clutch is considered, not without reason, an extension of LeBron. LeBron just happens to be the most powerful athlete in North American sports, which makes Rich Paul extremely powerful by Rob Pelinka's own admission. LeBron and Anthony Davis are active voices in roster construction for this team, which means Rich Paul is an active voice, which allows fans, I think, to reasonably wonder in a case like Alex Caruso or Talen Horton Tucker this offseason, where money was an issue, and when the dust settled, only one could be gone into the luxury tax for, you know, how much does the Clutch factor break that tie? Because you can make basketball reasons for keeping THT over Alex Caruso. He's got way more upside. This is a team, you know, not just this season, but as a franchise that needs younger blood. You know, Talen Horton Tucker can actually help in a lot of different ways in terms of, you know, goosing an offense and creating for other guys. And, you know, the potential is there for him to become better in ways that just aren't there for Alex Caruso. The flip side, though, is for a team that is in decidedly win now mode, there is a much easier argument that Alex Caruso is a safer bet to help with that now. And I don't bring this up to relitigate all this. My point is simply, things like this allow for that perception.
I mean,
and then when you have a lawsuit like this, it only
I have one more question, though, that I want to ask about that. You're basically what you're getting at, because there's another basketball kind of reason to think in these terms that is significant. So we'll do that next. We'll also get to the Jared Dudley stuff.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. They are bars covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft. They are easy to chew. They feature 17 to 18 grams of protein, only 130 to 180 calories per bar, just 4 or 5 grams of sugar, only 4 or 5 net carbs. They're low calorie, they're low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They're great for keto people, and they taste great as ever. You've got the original flavors like raspberry, coconut almond, salted caramel, banana bread, new flavors like cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, cookies and cream. They are, Brian, I'm not sure you knew this, the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. So if it's good enough for actual athletes, I think it's good enough for
especially
you.
Track and field, like that's a lot. Yeah.
Good enough for you, whoever the hell is listening to this thing right now. So go to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You get 15% off your first order. Again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com.
Locked On Lakers also brought to you by betonline.ag. It's that time of year and all eyes are turning to football. The teams are back on the gridiron to start the season. BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest, even bigger than a regular one. The world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor contest open now at BetOnline. So you go over to the website, you use your mobile device, sign up today, and receive your 100% welcome bonus with the promo code Locked On. Again, 100% welcome bonus with the promo code Locked On. That is a big one. So be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo where you make a bet on Thursday, the September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using the promo code NFL100. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. You get all your favorite Vegas casino games. So don't wait. Take advantage of all the great offers for the 2021 season. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. So in a world, Andy, where the, you know, ultimately stars drive this thing, and not just stars, but like talent, like the NBA is swung by individual talent more than football is, more than baseball is, because it's diluted because of the amount of people that are on the field. In basketball, one guy can have an outsized impact, whether that's a star, whether it's somebody like Jrue Holiday being an upgrade for the Bucks, whatever it is. In that context, the cultivation of relationships with agents, whether you're talking about Clutch as a sort of silent partner, if you want to call him that, in the Lakers front office, maybe not so silent, whatever it is. But you know, the Lakers went out and hired Rob Pelinka, former agent. The Knicks went out and got Leon Rose. You see so many more of these agents moving into front office positions, in part because they're very smart, but also in part because they have these relationships. They understand player movement and the bonds between guys and all this stuff. The other argument for operating this way and allowing some, you know, a group like Clutch to have such a large influence is because it helps you win games. Sure. It's unseemly. Ethan Sherwood Strauss, who was with The Athletic and now is launching his own Substack, which is, I mean, both a brave and a worthy venture for basketball fans if they should go invest in. He had one of his introductory columns was all about the ways that this stuff is intertwined. That CAA is intertwined with ESPN, which is intertwined with, you know, the players on the floor, which is intertwined with Clutch, which is, you know, all of these ways in which stuff rubs up against each other. That if fans really saw all of it, they might be uncomfortable with. I wonder if stories like this will start to make those types of connections a little bit more obvious. And look, we both came from ESPN. I don't mean to say that the reporters are compromising their work and all that. Right, that's true. I mean, we probably could have been bought, but some of those people are very serious about their work. But I think as more journalists get independent, as more of these types of suits maybe become more common or whatever it might be, stories become more common, fans, I think, are going to be seeing certain things about how the sausage gets made that they may not like.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of, remember the 2011 lockout? The thing that I've commented about this many times since is that fans, if nothing else came from that lockout, it was that fans understood the CBA way better than they ever did before because it was being talked about so much. Like, you know, before that, I mean, that was something I know that when you and I used to talk about in podcasts or right. Twitter or whatever, you could feel people's eyes glazing over even through social. But this was something that became really, really interesting to them. You know, I mean, ultimately, this is what matters. You know, the stuff I was talking about before, Brian, with like the idea of clutches, I don't even think perceived power, their actual power within the organization and the way that they, you know, the way that they can be, you know, have that type of influence and juice over decisions. It really only matters if they're not good at it. Like, you know, if they are, like you said, not so silent partners within the Laker organization, or I guess anywhere else where they happen to have a cluster of clients, or where they're steering people, if they have high profile guys, you know, enough that organizations would want to make happy, and then by extension, Clutch or whatever other agency gets to offer their two cents. What really matters is, are they good at it? You know, are they ultimately using that juice in ways that make teams better, as opposed to simply make the agency a shit ton of money? Right. Like that's what really matters in the end.
I think too. I mean, I will say this. I think the idea that Clutch as an organization, that Rich Paul as an individual, manipulates lesser clients to serve LeBron, for example, is far-fetched. Because, and this is a point that other people have made to us when we've talked to them about it, and you know, and people around, and it makes perfect sense given where, you know, if you sort of understand the trajectory that these guys want to be on. LeBron's going to be out of the game in 3 years, 4 years, 5 years at the most. Rich Paul's going to be an agent for 30. You know, Clutch is going to be an agency that matters for, in their design. Clutch is going to be something that is an influencer and a power player for 30 years, 40 years. These are young men. And I don't think that you jeopardize that so LeBron can have a better seventh man in his rotation. There are 1,000 different ways to get LeBron the team that he needs that can be accomplished both by satisfying your own clients and with, but the perception, particularly in the NBA, where people love conspiracy theories, is going to be hard to shake. And I think it'll be a conversation, especially if sort of there's some good, like juicy, salacious sort of details that come out as this news process unfolds. So,
well, it's also going to be really interesting. The more details you learn, whether they're actual, whether stuff that's getting leaked and you start seeing, you know, what's against the wall and actually,
right, whether sticking. It's what's petty versus what's actually illegal, right. I mean, versus what's,
look,
you know, in Nerlens Noel's mind, you know.
Well, I was going to say, like, in terms of, say, the, I think it was $70 million from Dallas, that contract that Nerlens Noel ultimately turned down. And since then, I think that was sort of the spark for what has been, if nothing else, a financial downward spiral for him in terms of the money that he thinks he could have gotten, the money he was told he was going to be getting. There is a reasonable chance that this was screwed up by Rich Paul giving Nerlens Noel bad advice. Mm-hmm. There is also a reasonable chance that Nerlens Noel could have been stubbornly ignoring Rich Paul saying, sign the damn thing.
Or could be like some, Rich Paul could have been a really shitty agent to Nerlens Noel. That doesn't mean he's a bad agent to other people.
I mean,
we can wrap here, but like, I just, what, the assumptions on my, we can, I mean, I'll wrap here, but like my, the assumptions that people will make, this is a great example of many things can be true at one time. You know, great agent for Nerlens, bad agent for Nerlens Noel, great agent for, you know, player X, Y, and Z. Bad agent initially for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, maybe, but makes up for it with some better stuff as it goes along. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that this could go, and a lot of things are going to be potentially true at one time.
Yeah, I mean, the third option I was going to give, you know, is that there's a chance this thing was somewhere in the middle where Rich Paul was saying, could I get you more? I think so. I can't promise I can get you more, but I think that I can. And ultimately, Nerlens Noel weighed that decision, okay, I trust you. And that trust ended up, you know, going bad. And, you know, this began the souring of that relationship. And, you know, it colors the way that he sees everything that happened after that. And again, the option that you threw out there, that he just did not do a good job with Nerlens Noel, his client, you know, all of these things can be extremely complicated. It can become very easy to start connecting dots in ways that may have some validity to it, maybe a little bit too simple. Like, for example, I know Nerlens Noel cited Norris Cole and Shabazz Muhammad as, you know, players that Rich Paul and Clutch did not do a particularly good job for. And like, no offense, but like, I don't know how great an agent.
Shabazz Muhammad was the biggest problem with Shabazz Muhammad. Right.
Like, I mean, Norris Cole was like anywhere from a seventh to 10th guy in the NBA. And it's like, whether Rich Paul could have done better for those guys, and maybe he could have. I mean, maybe he ultimately could have. There is a pretty definitive ceiling, though, I think, how much better of an agent you can be to Norris Cole.
And, like, we've been represented by large agencies before. There is a pecking order here.
Remember Jerry Maguire? Like, you know, you've got him working with Kush, and then he eventually gets down to Rod
Tidwell. That's exactly the point I'm making. So really interested to see where this goes, though. Very, very interested. The one place I know it is not going is Nerlens Noel traded to the Lakers. That's not going to happen. So didn't get to Dudley. We'll get to that tomorrow, I suppose. Talk about Jared Dudley headed to Dallas, what that means for the Lakers and the coaching staff. And keep an eye on what else the Lakers are doing in free agency. Some good stuff we're trying to set up for next week as well. And we'll see everybody next time.